He owns me as a child, I can no longer fear. Are you finding that security in Christ tonight? I enjoyed hearing these Bible school reports. I was privileged to learn some very foundational things in Bible school in my youth. Privileged to find my wife there. On the way up through, I said, you know, it'd be just interesting just to see the old building again. I don't know how much it changed in these years, but take advantage of Bible school, youth. It's a privilege. It can make a difference for the rest of your life if you allow it to. All right, for a message tonight, I chose to look at three words from a man on a ship. You can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. It's three words that he said after a long, grueling time at sea. And it's three words that we want to have part of our vocabulary as we face the challenges of life. The three words that he said is, I believe God. I believe God. And that's the title of my message this morning. Three powerfully spoken words in dire circumstances that ended up altering the persuasion of those that were along with him on the voyage. I'm going to take the time to just read the backdrop of all this, Acts 27, starting at verse 6, down to verse 32, and then verse 40 to 44. Acts 27, verse 6. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasi. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete that lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, so we were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under collar, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And when they had taken up the anchors, verse 40, now jumping down to verse 40, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Quite a story, quite a mental picture. As an artist, I tend to look at stories like this and try and put them into pictures in my mind. I don't know what for picture you all have. But I do know at the end of the day, at the end of the voyage, somewhere there was a little lifeboat bobbing around out in the water, the ropes cut off, and everyone was safe. And if they would have gotten in that lifeboat, they wouldn't have been safe, because God said it, and Paul believed God, and Paul was willing to act upon his faith. Three words that influenced a whole group of people on the ship. Faith that influenced the whole group on the ship. But the interesting thing to me as I studied this and thought about this was that earlier in the voyage, Paul was not speaking and acting with the same amount of confidence. This message really boils down to God's will, God's promises, and our response of faith. If we're going to be successful, that's what it boils down to. And I want to start by looking out what could have hindered this statement of faith on Paul's part early on. Then I want to look at what became Paul's anchor and the foundation of this statement. So let's look at what Paul said at the beginning. They were traveling very, very slow on an altered course. And Paul probably had a lot of time to think, as they were moving very slowly and already had changed plans. In verse 10, after he had time to think, he says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive, sirs, I perceive, that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." This is what Paul believed as he pondered the whole scenario. As he took in his life experiences, something told him, this is not good, this is not going to end well. And not only for the ship, but also our lives. We're going to be dead. He did something we all do. As he pondered, as he probably leaned there out over the sides of the ship and watched the calm, calm waters and just wished for wind in the sails, he came to conclusions. And he said, I perceive. This is what I think is going to happen. This is what I expect is going to happen. My first point is, our perceptions can help or hinder our faith walk. God didn't put us here mindless. God put us here with the ability to think. God put us here with the ability to remember. Some of us can remember better than others. I don't know that Paul had a cell phone with a weather app. I don't know that he had that. I don't know that he even had a farmer's almanac along. But it seems like he had a head knowledge of the times and the seasons. And obviously he had done a lot of traveling by boat. He had a nautical background, a lot of experience, even though he wasn't a boat owner. And verse 9 gives us a window into where his mind was going as they were traveling at this very slow speed. And he was trying to process this. In verse 9, it says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished him and said, "This is what I perceive." Now, you notice some things there. There was much time spent. Time got away on them. The trip was not going as planned. The sailing was now in dangerous zone because the fast was already past. Paul realized, you know what, this is now past the time that we have our fast. This is not good. And I pondered, what did the fast already past have to do with this picture? Was this a literal fast? If so, what does it have to do with the weather and arriving at their destination? What I came to, the conclusion that I came to, is it was for Paul like it is for some of us. You know, we tend to have these things that happen in our life consistently. And we have these landmarks that go along with these consistent things. We have an association because of the consistency of it all. I was just traveling from here where we ate lunch today, and on the way, or was it on the way to church? I forget which it was, but I saw a whole pile of snow geese to my left in the field. It was a beautiful sight. They told me that spring is just about here. They told me that spring is coming. I had an association. Because I saw this over here in the field, I knew that, you know what, this is going to happen next. And I believe as Paul was on this journey, as he had this plan, when they would be arriving, had the winds been favorable and all, and he was doing the math, you know what, this is now. Maybe it was a little bit like it is at Bible school. You sort of lose track of time. Is this the second week or the third week? The first week or second? Where are we here? You sort of feel like you're in your own world. And he thought about it. The fast is already past. This is not good. This is hurricane season. This is not going to be good. This is calm right now, and we are going to head for storms. He had nautical experience. He knew how it goes. He could look at this and by association know that, and he said, I perceive. The fast that I think he was looking to was a Mosaic law that they kept yearly on the great day of atonement, the 10th month of Tisri, September, October time frame. And usually after that, navigation became almost impossible. Apparently it was a known thing. Don't sail after fast time among the Jewish people. Don't sail after that time. Just like we always advise my children, don't get married in Pennsylvania December to February. Now, it can snow in March and it can snow in November, but it's more likely to snow in those 3 months, and I usually advise them accordingly. That is when I perceive that it is more likely to snow. So Paul said his perception, and he left them know that this is crazy. We're probably all going to die. You're going to lose your ship. This is not going to work. But they chose not to listen to his words. They chose to go by what the ship owner had to say, just like we would tend to listen to the pilot more than we would tend to listen to somebody sitting beside us on a jet. But they went. Contrary to what Paul advised, they went. When we let perceptions rule our life, perceptions can limit God's work in special ways, if he wills. Because perceptions usually have a very horizontal gaze. And perception is built on past memory. And future experiences don't always equate to past memory. To perceive, according to Strong's, means to take a look at, behold, to view mentally, and to consider. He perceived. All of us have perceptions based on what our eyes are taking in, what we experienced the last time something similar happened. The longer we live and see repetitive happenings, the deeper those perceptions get a hold of us. And we just believe that there's no other possibility than what we have in visualize what we have experienced in our past. And he had this database of travel experience. Even though he was not a ship owner, he was not new to the sea. He had all this travel history he could pull from and form opinions in his mind. And there was no doubt about it. I think when Paul made that, when he said, "I perceive," I like to believe that he was serious. He was serious. He really believed this was not going to work out. So how did Paul step from really, really believing in all his experience in life and all his backdrop, all his nautical experience, how did he get to the point where he said, "I believe God. It's going to be okay after all"? I like to look at number two, second point. Faith accepts that God works in our lives through the choices of others. Faith accepts that. God is not limited by the choices that people around us are making to bring about his plans and purposes. He's not limited by that. They did not accept Paul's intuition and perspective. They listened to the owner of the ship, and Paul was along for the ride. He was a prisoner. There was nothing he could do. There was no place to get off. And they soon realized that fair weather and soft winds did not mean that they were going to have easy sailing to their destination. And they went through some very, very extreme safekeeping endeavors because their personal life was at stake. And for the sake of the ship, they had to do something. They got rid of wares because the favorable winds turned traitor. They became very expensive winds, very scary winds, very difficult winds, to the point the captain's faith in his vessel was gone. That huge, heavy, wooden ship that he had all confidence in just prior was now gone. I don't know how big this ship was. It had more than one anchor. We read that. But I had to, this story came to life just a little bit as I got an invitation from a brother-in-law of mine who moved to Maryland. They bought a property down there not too far from the water in a church plant. And on that property, they had there was a building, one of these hoop-type buildings with, I don't know what you call them, but the round ones with the, and they built this thing over top of a wooden yacht, an old wooden yacht. And on the day of the sale, they tried to sell this yacht inside this building, which didn't have a door big enough to get it out. And they got zero bids. So till it was all said and done, my brother-in-law inherited a yacht. Now, and typically, you would consider yourself to have good fortune to have a brother-in-law that owns a yacht. But that was not the case here. Because it was a partially restored yacht. The man died in the middle of the restoration, far, far from completed. So my brother-in-law tried to find a buyer for somebody to take it off his hands. And after a year or so of trying, he one day told the family, he said, "Hey, can you bring chainsaws and anything to come down? We're going to have a tear apart the yacht day." And it became a rather expensive yacht. And one thing that stood out to me, he had a big all-terrain lift there he was using as to help lift the pieces as we would saw them apart. And this was a wooden boat, two big old 903 Cummins diesels down under, and a heavy boat, well put together, well. And I was impressed how strong and how well these wooden boats are put together. But then I realized that this was such a dire situation here in this story that the captain had lost all confidence in his vessel. This wooden boat, he was afraid he's going to lose it. He was sure he was going to lose it. This strong-built ship, this heavy monster of a piece, a boat. We see that in this story, the captain was concerned to the point that he was undergirding the ship. It says he was wrapping bands around the ship laterally to keep this thing from flying apart. I don't know how they did that. They tried docking. They got scared. They were going to get sucked into the sand, the quicksand. And they put it back out in the water, and they left it float. And they said, well, there's nothing else to do but get rid of the important stuff on the ship. The stuff that was part of it. Verse 19 says, in the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of tackling. I don't know what all that meant. I looked it up in Strong's. It says the apparatus, the equipment, the furniture. I get the idea that this was the stuff that was an integral part of the ship. This was the stuff that they depended on to successfully navigate the ship. I get the feeling it may have been pulleys, it may have been ropes. I don't know what all was. But those ships had deckmen that they knew which rope to pull here and which rope to pull there when they had to make adjustments. But they were in such a dire situation that all hope was given to even saving the ship. They got rid of stuff, everything they could get rid of. Now we see they apparently still had a rudder, and they apparently still had a mainsail that they could put up somehow. I don't know if it was manually or how they got it up. But they were vulnerable shipmen that had basically given up their security. I remember when I was a youth, I had an old pickup that had an aftermarket steering wheel on. And I remember one day I was going down the road and the steering wheel came off. I was holding a steering wheel in my hand. And I pushed the thing back on the steering wheel and tried to get off the road. And I managed to get slowed down and get off the road. But I was not real far from home by that point in time, and I had a vice grip in there, and I could still have that feeling of driving home with a vice grip. It was limp mode at best, and just hoping this vice grip stays on this shaft. But you know, I made it home. I still had hope. I still had hope that I'd get this thing home if I took it easy. But these men were not even in limp mode. These men were beyond hope that they're going to save their ship. And it's that situation, hopeless situation. Basically, the steering wheel was gone. They were putting it to the wind. They were letting the ship drive. It's in that situation that Paul again steps up. This time, he had an audience. And yes, he does what we sometimes are tempted to do when people don't listen to us. In my own words, he says, you should have listened to me. But he has something more important to say than you should have listened to me. While he reminded them of that, he said, the angel of God who I serve stood by me last night. It's going to be okay. Notice his message had shifted from I perceive to an angel from God that I serve spoke to me. It was no longer his perceptions. It was now a faith in God because of what God told him. To move from perception to faith, we must at some point be okay with the fact that while people's choices impact us, God is not limited by people's choices. We will be impacted. We don't live on islands. We move and operate in synchronization with other people. But God is not limited by people's choices. Paul still felt the way he did way back. He still felt it would have been better if they wouldn't have left. And he reminded them that, but he didn't focus on that long. He focused on what God had for him to do, and that God told him that he and the others would all be saved if they stay in the ship. How would this story have ended if Paul would have just nursed the injury of his nautical advice going unheeded early on and said that, I'm just not going to say anything. They didn't listen to me the last time. I'm not going to say anything this time. I got better news for him now, but I'll teach him. No, he took his faith, and he went out, and he spoke to them. And when he saw them doing what his God said is not going to work, he went up to him and said, "No, wait, don't get in that lifeboat. Don't, you're not going to make it. My God said we have to stay on the ship if we're going to make it." And it says they cut off the ropes to their lifeboat. Cut off the ropes. The last minute chance of survival from a human perspective, they cut it off. Because there was a man that had faith. Because he believed his God. We live in a human world. Sometimes doctors make wrong judgment calls. Sometimes living Bible principles with those that we share life with becomes extremely hard. Maybe it's submission that's part of the picture that's extremely difficult. And maybe we have these things that we believe if we don't just stand our ground, if we don't just do what our perception tells us to do, it's just not going to work out well. I'm here to say tonight that even if we're a passenger, even if we're a passenger in the passenger seat, if we know God, God has plans and God has purposes, and God can make it all work out. Secondly, to move from fear to faith, we have to spend time with God's messenger in the night. We have to spend time with God's messenger in the night. We can say, well, Paul, I mean, after all, he had it made. A real form came and talked to him, physically talked to him. I could be of good cheer too. I could have faith too if I could have some angel come and stand beside me in my scary experiences and say, it's going to be all right. This is what God has for you. It's going to be okay. I had a woman tell me that in almost that many words. She said, if I could just hear God whisper in my ear that all my sins are forgiven, then I could feel better. You know what that woman missed? She missed her angel that already told her that. She needed to spend time with her angel in the night and read the promises of God. Our angel comes to us with wings of leather and a body of white pages and some red letters that are the very words of Jesus Christ himself. Not just an angel. Jesus Christ himself wrote the things that we see in red. And he communicated with the Father and he said, I came to say only the things that the Father tells me to say. So we can be assured that this is God's word to us. And in our tense times at sea, we can go here and we can read it and we can stand on it. And we can go to our brother and our sister and say, this is what God says, and I believe God. I believe God. I remember the very helpless feeling of sitting with a brother that was very, very discouraged. Very discouraged. And I remember of, as a preacher, the only thing I knew is to take people to the Word of God and say, this is what God says. And I turned to scriptures that had promise. And he would listen to me read, and he would just shake his head and say, that doesn't mean me. So I tried reading him again. I tried putting his name in there. Instead of whatever it said, I put his name in. Doesn't mean me. It doesn't mean me. He couldn't get a hold of the fact that this was his angel from God. This was a message just for him, just for him. When our angel says, I will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, that's a promise. That's a promise. We don't have to come back and keep confessing and reconfessing. We're only reminding God about things he already took care of. Things that happened at salvation. things that are happening through the intercessory work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We won't be perfect people, but my Bible promises me that I have an advocate with the Father. I have someone that was here in flesh. I have someone that understands my humanness and my weakness and is interceding to my Father in heaven in areas that maybe I don't even realize how far I'm violating his perfect will. Number three, to move from fear to faith, we stay in the boat till God fulfills all his promises and work in our life. Paul was on a very difficult mission. I can't imagine the mission he was on, having to go before the powers that be and the dignities and the rulers of the land. But God's promise to him was, I have purposes, I have plans for you, Paul. You stay faithful. Everyone else will be okay as well because of my plans for you. God's promises in our life come one day at a time, one hour at a time as we stay on the boat and reach out and wait in faith. Can we be of good cheer in our hard, hard experiences? Can we spend time with our angel in the night and say, God, what do you have for me in all of this? Can you give me direction in this? I'd like to conclude this message with some angel talk, barring that terminology. I like to listen to God, angels speak to us, speak to you, and speak to me. You don't need to turn to these, but just listen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Are you working on something difficult in your life that feels unique to you, that feels extremely difficult to you? Your angel is telling you, you're not facing anything that isn't common to man. And God is faithful. God is faithful. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will lurk in the shadows. Is that what it says? What does it say? He will flee. He will flee. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can stand on that tonight. We can go places that almost bring goosebumps because we can feel the spiritual powers that are at work. But we can believe God. We can believe God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Where do we go in our dark moments? Where do we go? Are we searching for God with all our heart? We have promises. We have promises that we can stand on. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Do you believe tonight that in whatever experience you're going through, that God can work exceedingly, abundantly, above what you could ever imagine? What you could ever even imagine? Philippians 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say all our wants, but all our need. My God shall supply all your need. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, Jesus asks a question, the last part of the verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That tells me that the end times could get pretty scary. Our angel tells us that the end times are going to be characterized with much deception. There's going to be a global power and monetary system that's going to eventually evolve. One that you won't be able to buy or sell without a mark on your body to represent that you are a part of the system. And the ruler of the system is going to be Antichrist. He's going to be against the one that we believe in. And I'm glad this evening to be of a prophetic persuasion that the saved will not experience the worst of the things that are going to happen at the end of time, the climax of time. I'm glad for the promises that there's going to be a place for God's children till we're called home. We have the promise that until the end of the world, there's going to be four seasons. I do have a growing concern as we see this system coming into place and shaking down. I think there's good reason, our angel tells us, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as we see the day approaching. You know, I think we have it so good here in America that we don't even feel like going to church. We don't even feel like it. You know, we almost don't feel a need for each other the way I believe the end times wants us to feel a need for each other. Revelation 3 and verse 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We all want to be overcomers. It's our desire, it's our goal to hear our Father confess our name before the angels that talk to us. What does it mean to be an overcomer? I don't know. But it sounds like it means keeping our name in the book of life. It sounds like we have a choice if we're going to be an overcomer or if we're going to succumb to the fears of travel, be overcome by the fears of navigation, or if we're going to be a Paul that says, I believe God. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to stay in the ship. I believe God. God promised me that if I stay faithful, I can make it. God promised me that he has a work for me and I need to stay faithful. I'm going to close with one more promise. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to be a man of faith tonight. I hope that each one of us wants to be men and women of faith. In our experiences, when our ship is rocking and reeling, can we get out? Can we spend some time in the night season with our angel? Will we trust God? Will we believe God? And will we tell others that we believe God and try and help them make it safely to glory? May that be our desire. May that be our experience. May God bless you, bless us as we endeavor to live out faith in our personal journey. All right, let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that we have that took time out of their experiences of life to write them down so that we can get a glimpse of who you are, God, so that we can get a glimpse of how you can work in spite of the human mistakes, the human decisions of people, how you do not let your plans and purposes become frustrated because of that. Father, help us to remember that when our ship is at sea, when things feel shaky all around us, and our securities that were such a normal part of our life may be tested. And Father, help us to just cling to the promises in your word. Father, don't let Satan get us so discouraged that we can't hardly see them and we can't hardly claim them. Lord, help us to be open to your angels in the night that want to cheer us on. And help us, Father, to be brave for you and to take the promises in the daytime to others who maybe don't know you and are going about life their own way and reaching out for their own securities. Father, help us to be a willing witness for you. Give us a word in season so that maybe there can be a lifeboat bobbing on the water because we took time to put our hand on somebody's shoulder and lead them to you and the promises of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.